A reading from the book, A reading from the first book of Kings. After a while, the brook dried up because there was no water in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have provided a widow there to feed you." So he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her, "Please bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said to him, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jar. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat and die." And Elijah said to her, "Fear not, go and do as you have said. But first, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward, make yourself and your son some. For this, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal shall not be spent, and the jar of oil shall not fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of oil was not spent, neither did the jar of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. The word of the Lord. We know well the story of the prophet Elijah, but what about the widow? In those times, a woman was totally dependent on her family, either her father, husband, or another male relative to support her. This widow was totally alone except for her son, who must have been young because he was not old enough to support her. Thus, she too would have been fairly young, not much like much older women that we often associate with the word widow. What had happened to her husband? Did he die from a work-related accident? A minor injury could be deadly with little hygiene or medical attention. Or was he killed in one of the battles constantly going on? We do not know. But we do know that there had been many years of drought and famine. And as at the Wadi Cherith, Yahweh now sends Elijah into a situation where only a miracle can supply for him. Elijah is calling the widow to extreme sacrifice. He says, "Make food for me first." Amazingly, this destitute, non-Israelite widow recognized this foreigner, Elijah, to be a holy man, and so she readily sacrificed all she had to provide for him. The poor widow did not have the prophetic mission of Elijah, but she was essential for the fulfilling of that mission. Without the generosity of this destitute nobody, Elijah would have starved before accomplishing the divine plan. She gave her last grains of flour and drops of oil. This poor widow shows that no one is too poor to offer alms and hope. In fact, it is often the poor, who are more generous than the rich and affluent. We see here a kind of recklessness in giving totally. It's a trust that God will provide. We know almsgiving as a work of mercy. It is one of the three pillars of the holy life: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Almsgiving is also a path to forgiveness of sin. Scripture tells us that love covers a multitude of sins, and the sacrificial act of almsgiving is indeed an act of love. Thomas A. Kempis, in his book, The Imitation of Christ, wrote that one does not live in love without suffering. There is no love without sacrifice. And you may remember that Mother Teresa of Calcutta used to say that love gives until it hurts. But even religious orders depend upon almsgiving, the generosity of the faithful and people to make their life possible. This goes all the way back to the Old Testament, where the Levites had no inheritance but God, and the other 11 tribes were supposed to provide for their material needs. Jesus had said, "Give to a holy man and receive a holy man's reward." But even religious are not exempt from giving alms and hospitality. There is a spiritual principle that God is never outdone in generosity. And when God finds someone who gives generously without strings attached, He blesses. He blesses not only the person and the community's graciousness, but because He has found a willing and sometimes worthy channel through which He can continue to bless others, the blessing does not end with the one act of generosity. A Benedictine once wrote that the law is absolute. To belong to God is to belong to others. To stand before the poor, to stand before God is to serve the poor. We say the Our Father every day, he wrote, and when we say, "Give us this day our daily bread," we are implicitly pledging ourselves to share with others what will be given to us. The Church of Scotland minister William Barclay once wrote about generosity and almsgiving. Quote, "For many of us, it is a real question if ever our giving to God's work is any sacrifice at all. Few people will do without their pleasures to give a little more work to the Church of God. It may well be a sign of the decadence of the Church and the failure of our Christianity that gifts have to be coaxed out of church people, and that often they will not give at all unless they get something back in the way of entertainment or of goods." End of quote. That text was written about 50 years ago, and it's certainly just as applicable today as then. There seems to be a lack of generosity among people today. What can we give to others? We can give our time, talent, money, gifts, food, and clothing. But even more important and even more simply, we can return human dignity. We can give love, self-respect, a gentle hand on the shoulder of someone in distress, a listening ear, a welcoming smile. Like God, let us never be one that can be outdone in generosity.